But sometimes life throws us curves. And in the curves of life, that's where you're designed. That's where you are designed to make it. But if you don't ride the curve like you're designed to do, all of a sudden you can fall. And when you fall, God says that you can get back up. But you are built to last. You're built to survive. You're built to be somebody. You're built to last. So the enemy don't want you to recognize that you are somebody. The enemy don't want you to recognize that you can face your tomorrow. The enemy doesn't want you to realize that you are more than a conqueror. The enemy doesn't want you to recognize that you're a demon killer, that you're somebody who can stomp on scorpions, that you can touch someone and they can regain sight. The enemy don't want you to know that you can walk the hallways of a hospital and people can receive their healing just because you're being available to the power of the Holy Ghost. So we will be who God called us to be. We will be who God called us to be. You can run all you want, but God will track you down. I didn't know that they were going to sing that song. Sitting in my chair just this morning, and I said, Lord, I sense something, but I don't know what you're saying. And then what I felt in my spirit, the Lord said that we were built to last. He said, you tell every mother, every father, every child, everyone in the church today that they were built to last. And I said, Lord, what does that mean? What are you saying? And the first thought came to me, and I have no idea why, but Ford truck, a Ford F-150, they have a slogan that says built tough and built to last. So I submit to you today, if we're built by God, we're built by Jesus, and Jesus resides within us, we're built to last. Amen. We're built tough. Amen. So now I understand why God wanted me to go this way, because we're built to last. Opening scripture, Psalms 139. And we just going to go from there. Three scriptures, and then you can get out and go eat your steak, wherever you want to go. But it's amazing. It's amazing that my mother is here. And she has never saw me speak or heard me. Well, she heard me. I give her many CDs. But she has never heard me face in person. And I want to thank God for her. Because at 15, she could have went ahead and gave me up. But she said it was something within her that could not abort me. That could not. That could not do what the world system wanted her to do. So she went ahead and had this knucklehead boy. And I'm so happy to call her my mom. She saw what was in me before I saw it. And I still don't see it, but she sees it. That's why I love her so much, because growing up in the projects in the hood, many things could have happened. But yet she still said, look, son, you're going to be somebody. I hated sometimes the way we dressed. I remember one picture, we had this red, white, and blue vest jacket sweater on with a big red bow tie, and she thought that was the cutest picture. That thing just, and that irked me, like, man, why we gotta dress this way? And to this day, I dress a certain way because my mom instilled something within me, and that was character. See, we gotta dress where we want to go in life. If we continue to walk around with our pants hung low, drawers and underwear showing, where are you going in life? At some point, you need to put on a polo shirt, or even if you don't have a polo shirt, please pull your pants up and look presentable. Yeah. Yeah. Because if you look presentable, someone will hire you. Someone will listen to you. Someone will give you an opportunity. So my mom instilled something within me that was what was what I call a not give up spirit. And that was, if I did everything necessary to be successful in life, you can't stop me. I only can stop myself. So I submit once again before we get into this scripture, and that's why I love this scripture, Psalms 139, because we were wonderfully, skillfully created. I came out of my mom's womb, but the word says in Psalms that he possessed my reins in her womb. So in her womb, he was creating me. He was making you. He was putting thoughts in your mind. He was giving you a thought pattern of how you was going to live, who you was going to become. It was already there. What happens is at some point in this life on our journey, and that's why I said in the curves of life is where we are made, that in that curve, all of a sudden it clicks who you are. It clicks that God was for you. It clicks that Jesus opened up doors and closed doors and took away friends and took alcohol, took drugs away from you. At some point in that curve of life, it clicks. And then you will never, ever, ever, ever be the same. Because you recognize that Jesus is your strength, that Jesus is your portion, that Jesus' blood on that cross paved the way for you to have this life that you have now. You recognize, you feel it, and from that point on, it's praise and all glory to God. My education didn't open a door. My relationship with this man or this woman didn't open doors, but my relationship with Jesus opened the door. Because you recognized who you were in the curve. In the curve, your design. Overseer can attest to this. If you have two people on a bike, on a motorcycle, if one person leans one way, that other person has to lean with them. If they don't lean, the bike will spill. So I submit to you, married couples, in the curves of life, lean together. Lean together. Hold on. Don't go one way and the husband going another way. Ride the curve with him. And I guarantee you, in the curves of life, you will get to your destination. I commit it to you and I stand on God's word that he will get you to point A, well, to the end line. Amen. Psalms 139, then you can sit down. It says, for thou, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished by Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you, I'm sorry, I'm reading Jeremiah 29, 10, and 11. Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest me my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the service thus far. God, I decrease that you may increase. God, I get out of the way. You have your way, God. Let something that be said oh God, that will lift our spirits and lift our soul, oh God, to continue this journey we're on. And God, as you said, I believe in my spirit this morning, we are built tough. We are built to last. We're not built to give up. We're not built to falter, but we are built to last. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated. I won't be before you long because Lord just gave this to me this morning, and it's something because as I sat there, I said, Lord, just some kind of confirmation, because we're supposed to be in Acts 22 and finish it up 17 through 30. And the Lord says, well, if you built tough and you built the last, that is a testimony. That's what we're talking about, testimony. We talked about Apostle Paul's testimony last week and how the Jews didn't want to receive his testimony because they didn't want to believe it, but his testimony captured their attention, and he had open door to minister to them. So what I'm saying today is that when people see us, when we see a Ford truck out on the highway, a Ford 150, some of them have been out for years and years and years. And if you ever ask on one of them, they probably tell you it's over 200,000 or 300,000 miles on a vehicle because they were built and designed to go far in life. So when you first thing you think when you see this truck is that it's built to last. So when people see us, when they look at us, they should get the same thought that we're built to last. Amen. That we're not built to give up in our circumstances. We're not built to give up because the boss looks at us cross-eyed, or you didn't get the raise you wanted, or you didn't get the promotion you wanted. But God says that when we let him guide us, his favor is what opened doors. His favor is what's going to get us promotions. And what I like about when God does stuff, he does stuff that blows our mind, because you don't get the raise when you think you should get it. But when it's time for you to get it, he gives it to you, and then he gives it to you out of cycle. And then what happens is now everybody know that you just got a raise out of cycle. So now he just puts you on blast. He just puts you on display to let them know that, look, the God he served, even though he got dogged last week or last month or even a year ago, but God still reigns, and I'm still in control, and this is my son. This is my daughter. So he puts you on display. Now everybody know that you got a raise out of cycle. Everybody knows you got a promotion when you wasn't supposed to get a promotion, because God sets it up that way because he wants to get glory out of our lives. Yes. Amen. It's not to promote ourselves, but it's to promote God. Amen. Amen. So in Psalms 139, which is my favorite scripture, and it tells us that he possessed my reins. He took control. He knows all about us. He made us. He put us together. When you go back to Genesis, when he said he created everything, that's when we were created. So when we get to our mother's womb, all that's happening is God has just orchestrated what he already put into motion back in Genesis. Then what he said in Genesis after he created everything was that it was all good. So I may be a little, as they say, off, a little hair messed up. Maybe going bald or whatever, may have to wear glasses, may even need some teeth work or whatever. But in God's eyesight, I'm somebody. I'm the finest young man that ever existed in God's eye, because his word says that. So what I do now, and what I encourage the young people to do, don't let nobody tell you that you're not somebody. Because God created you. God took time to create you and make set up a path for you to go. And all you have to do, like I said, is recognize Jesus, recognize that he's your door. And there's something about, I don't want to go all over, but in John 10, before we get to abundant life, the word says that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger I will not follow. So if I'm linked to Jesus and I have acknowledged him and I'm letting him guide my life, I can't hear a stranger, because the stranger is not going to lead me to where God wants me to go. And in his word, in John 10, it says that I'm going to lead you to green pastures. I'm going to take you places where you can rest, where you can eat, where you can drink, and I'm going to take care of you. But not only am I going to take care of you, but I'm going to lay down at the gate, the entranceway, into where you guys are at. The shepherd is saying this, that I'm going to lay there, and nobody can get through this door unless they go through me. Yeah. Amen. So I want to be inside the gate, because if I'm inside the gate, that means that I accepted Jesus and he has let me in the door. And now I'm under his protection. I'm under his care. I'm under his provision. Wherever he tells me to go, wherever he takes us, I know I'm going to be fed. I know I'm going to be taken care of. If I need to be healed, the shepherd will heal me. If I get out of line, he's got the rod to bring me back in line. I know that it's going to be all good. But I have to acknowledge Jesus. See, many times we want this life that we want this extraordinary life without accepting Jesus. And God can open doors and make ways for you, but the extraordinary life don't come that way. We as believers, we want it God's way. Amen? And we want to just be who God created us to be. Another scripture that I love so much, before I get to my closing point, in Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. It says, "For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." Amen. So, now, when I read this morning, it says, "For thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you." And I said, "Lord, what are you saying there?" It says, like, sometimes we got to go through some things, and it may be a year, 6 years, 10 years, or whatever it may be, but after 70 years of going through some trials and going through some pains and going through some issues, God says that I'm now going to visit you. And now I'm visiting you because I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. So that's saying that in my trial, in my trouble, when I hearken unto God, when I call on his name, even though I'm in the midst of it, he's coming. Amen. That means he's going to be, at some point, he's going to come. So that I must now be tough. I must be built to last now. Because it may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. But my faith can't waver. I just know he's coming. I don't know how he's coming. I don't know how he's going to heal my body. I don't know how he's going to bring my son and my daughter back. I'm built to last. So at some point, I got to hold on to God's unchanging hand until change comes. So I'm built to last. So in the midst of my storm, in the midst of what we're going through in life, we just hold on to God's unchanging hand, knowing that at some point, he's going to hearken unto the call. Amen. Because a good shepherd is going to look out for his sheep. And when they call, he's going to go and respond. The word even tells us that if one is lost, I'm going to lead the 99 and go get the one. Amen. So if I'm the one, Lord, come get me out of this situation. If you're the one, Lord, you probably said yourself, if I'm the one, Lord, come get me. Because I don't want to be out. I don't want to be lost. Because I want to be built to last. And I just want to encourage the mothers on today, you're built to last. For some reason, we men, sometimes we just get a little crazy. We don't understand life sometimes, and it throws us out. We go to drinking, you know, we do sex things, whatever it may be. We do crazy stuff. But when a woman has the word of God, and it's deep within their spirit, I'll give you an example. And I read this story. This young man got in trouble, and he was in court. Not only did they have footage of the young boy messing up, doing something wrong, they had it on film. Didn't have eyewitnesses. But when the mom got to the court and they presented the evidence, the mom said, "Man, is that really my son?" And the DA was like, "Well, ma'am, we got proof that this was your son." But the mom would not let them condemn the son. Even though the son was wrong, even though the son had messed up, in her heart, she could not have I'm trying to find the right word. She couldn't accept that her son did wrong. So until the son was convicted and gone off to jail, she realized that her son was in trouble. But up till that point, until he was convicted, she just knew that he was going to get off. She just knew it. And there's something about Now, a father would be like, look, you messed up, boy. Go ahead and do your time. Do whatever. Do whatever. But a mom, son, I know your dad wouldn't you on that film. I know that wouldn't you. They done photoshopped you in. They done got you into that picture. That ain't you. I raised you better than that. That's not you. I know you don't steal. I know you don't rob people. And that ain't you on that film. Maybe it's somebody who just looked like you. And the son's like, mom, that was me. No, that wasn't you. Because that's a mom's love. Now, the dad, like I said, is tough. All right, go ahead and put them away. However long you need. He need 10 years, 5 years, get himself together. Maybe he'll act right when he get out. That's what a dad would say. But a mom would say, you ain't putting my son away. Because that's how moms are made. They're built to last. Amen? Now, I said all that to get to this point. And Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3. We all know the story of the three Hebrew boys. And what I love about this story is the fact that these three Hebrew boys would not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar created. And because they did not bow down, some friends, or so-called friends, accused them, and they had to go before the king. And when they went before the king, they called them, and they went before the king. But what I like about the story is just this. They told the king, be it whatever it may be, I'm not worthy to answer you, but let it be known this day that whether God deliver us or he don't deliver us, I'm going to trust God. So they were built to last. And what I love about it, when you get into it and you get down to a couple of scriptures, some things I didn't even realize, that when they threw them in a fiery furnace, okay, you got some men that not only did they just throw them in the fire, they bound them. They tied them up. It's bad enough that they increased the fire three times. He said, increase it three times, and they increased the power, increased the level of the intensity of the fire. But then they bound them and tied them up, and they threw them in with all their clothes on. What gets me is that the three men who threw them in fell and died. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? Sometimes our enemies think they're throwing us in the fire only to get burnt themselves. I said, wow, God, what are you saying? He said, sometimes your enemies, those that persecute you, those that want to throw you under the bus, sometimes the very bus they're trying to throw you on is the bus that run them over. Amen? And then we go on. They in the fire. They in the fire. Now, this really took me out. And I know I hate doing this, but this is how God gives it to me. And I should be reading a quote in the scriptures, but it just comes out this way. This is what gets me. You in the fire, and the king sees that you in the fire, and the comment is made that it's a fourth man in the fire with them. Not only is there a fourth man in the fire with them, but they not being burned. Ain't nothing burning. Ain't nothing stinking. Ain't no smoke coming from this fire. You know, I'm a barbecue. I love the barbecue. When you put some meat on the fire, it's something going to burn. You're going to get some smoke. So, you know, we got some meat. We are flesh and bones, amen? But we got some stuff in there that when fire hit it, it's going to burn. Nothing was burning. So the king is now amazed. But what got me was, and when I read it, was he spoke to them while they were in the fire. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come here. This is the king talking. He told the three men to come to him in the fire. If you're burning in your fire, how you coming to somebody while you on fire? But he sees these people, and he says, come here. It's a fourth man in the fire. He goes before the king, and when they're in front of the king says, who is your God? Your God delivered you out of this situation? Who is your God? This is the God that we need to be serving. This is the God that we need to recognize. Who is your God? So now it goes back to our testimony. It goes back that we are built to last, because in the fire, in the storm, if we didn't have Jesus in the fire with us, we'd burn up and crumble up. But with Jesus in our storm, in our situation, we okay. Amen. So we're built to last. So whatever you're going through in life, especially as a single woman, Because I understand, because my mom was single, I understand that life throws you curves that want to knock you out. But if you're built to last and you got Jesus on your side, he's going to look out for you. He's going to take care of you. Your kids will eat. Your kids will have clothing because you trust in God. Amen. So in the fire, they come out. No clothes burnt. Everything looking good. Hats. Everything's still in place. You know how you women, you wear hats. Men, we wear hats sometimes. But they had on their clothes. But they were bound. But God loosed them. And I said, Lord, where did you loose them at? Because it said he loosed them and they came out. So in the fire, not only did Jesus come in the fire and help them and shielded them and protected them, he loosed them. So when the man, that's why the king said, oh, come here, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, because they were loose. They wasn't bound. They wasn't burning. They were loose, up, walking in the fire. Come here. So he comes and they are amazed. But then you get through all of that, said all of that just to say this, that at some point as men and women of God, we got to take a stand for God. And when we take this stand, we got to recognize that our enemies can come up against us. It can even happen in our families. It can even happen in church. Things happen. But if you trust Jesus, if you hold on to his unchanging hand, he will direct you because he built us. He made us. He knows what's going on. Even when we are stupid and messed up, he knows what's going on. He knows when the right person is going to come by and say the right thing to you, and you're going to get saved. I stand on this, and I don't want to say it all the time, but I stand on it. That year, I came to visit the pastor, pastor and overseer. My life, I just was chilling, and Dee Dee was chilling too. I'm just going to be honest. We were just like going to come through and say hello and go back to our worldly ways. I had no idea Pastor was going to whisper in my ear, do you know Christ? And she did that. And my life, after saying, I don't think I ever really acknowledged him in that fashion. So she led me to Christ. And from that point on, my life has never been the same. And one reason it has been different is because I don't want to play. You know, it could have been easy for me to get their daughter's hand to just fake the funk. I'm saved, I'm delivered, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let's quote the right scriptures, say the right things. But for some reason, within me, I couldn't be fake. Jesus had captured a part of me that he placed within me. So from that point on, I could not think or do anything different or other than what God now is saying and speaking. So 22 years later, Tanisha, it'd be 22 in November. 23. Oh, it's 23 years? Wow. 23 years. Wow. Okay, so 23 years ago, I'd made that choice to trust and follow Jesus. And for some reason, I said, Lord, come hell or high water, I'm going to trust you. And I'm just going to trust you to take me through every situation. And he has done that. And he is still doing that. And that's why this morning when my mom was upstairs, I was just like, wow, my mother's upstairs. And this word dropped in my spirit, built to last. And the first person I thought about was my mother. Because she was built to last. And truth be told, and she probably gonna get on me, but she wasn't like a mom that made you cook you dinner, wash your clothes, did all these different things. She made me and my sister to be self-sufficient. At I think about 11, you stopped cooking, 10? 13, we had to get our own meal. Figure it out. Wash your own clothes. You know? Son, you know, I wanted to go to the crazy junior high school. I was just determined to go to the crazy junior high school. She says, boy, you're not going to that school. We're going to get you in this other school. So I go to the school the first day, and I'm closing. And They were doing drugs in the bathroom. And I wasn't as big as I am now. Mom can attest, I was a little skinny something. Think about maybe 130, 40, I was skinny. So I was a little afraid, but I could play basketball, and that was my gift to help me make it out of the hood. So anyway, we go to this junior high school, and I never, ever forget it. She says, you're not going to this school, you're going to this school. This school was a bus ride, a subway ride, and another bus ride away. And it was in a community that was filled with people who had it going on. Their kids had Polo, Calvin Klein, all these stuff. They had it working. And I just had 3 pair of jeans and like 3 shirts. I didn't have alligator. I had something called German, Grumman, something. I don't even know what it was. I ain't had that. But my mom made sure that what we had was clean. She made sure that when I went to school, it was neat. And she said, don't let these people fool you. Don't let these people mess you up. You are somebody. You can do this. So I went to school with congressmen, senators, and all these kids' daughters. And, you know, I'm thinking I'm messed up. But by 9th grade, I said, Mom, I don't want to go to this school no more. I thought it would be better for me to go back to the hood. Crazy decision. Stupid decision. But God was in control. So I go back to the hood, and it went all downhill. When I was going to the other school, they look out for you, get your scholarships. They do what they do. But I just wanted to be around what we call our people, what we call those that look out for us. I didn't know that, you know, these people really didn't care. And the basketball coach told me that, Kenny, you're making the stupidest decision I ever heard. And to this day, the 7 kids that played on that basketball team went to Wilson. Those 7 kids all got Division I scholarships in basketball to college. And I said, Lord, well, what's going on? I mean, why are you bringing all this to my remembrance? This all happening this morning. And he was just basically telling me that through my mom's encouragement, through her staying focused, through her not letting me be part of a system, that I am who I am today. So when it came time for me to accept Jesus, my mother cultivated my heart, cultivated who I was going to be in life. So when it came time for me to accept Jesus, it was natural, it was easy, because mom had cultivated me first to listen. To listen. In closing, I think that's the worst, the worst thing that you can do is not listen to somebody who has been down the road that you are trying to go down. I think that's the worst decision to do. So my mom always taught me to listen, and I had always older people around me because I just couldn't roll with certain people because I was going somewhere. So 23 years later, I found myself in church and ministry, excited about it and encouraging other people that you can hold on to God's unchanging hand and you can make it because you're built to last. You're built to last. Let Jesus hold your hand. Let Jesus take you through whatever you're going through. Mothers, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Even though it may be rough, your son or daughter may not be in church right now, but hold on. Hold on. Trust God. Believe God for a miracle. Believe God that they're going to come back. Because just as the prodigal son, one day he came to his senses. And when he came to his senses in the pig pen, he said, I will be better off in my father's house as a servant. I got to get back to there. And he goes back to his dad. And what do? The dad with open arms, not even bringing up his past, not even bringing up what he did, loved him, cared for him. What makes me think, and I think it's crazy, that the son who had it all, the son that was left behind, was jealous and mad with the son who went and splundered everything. Isn't that how it is with us, some Christians? When those men and women who have been through storms and been through hell and high water, when they come into churches and God started to use them, we then look down. And we forget where we came from. We forget that we were once where they were. It starts in our homes. It starts in our church. When people come in that are not saved, we should be excited. We should give God glory when that backslider comes back to God. For the last time, I close with this. You're built to last, and you're going to make it. Stand to your feet. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, thanking you for this word. I'm the first partaker of it, God. God, I received it, and I want to use it every day in my life. God, I pray right now, oh God, that something was said to strengthen all of us. God, I pray right now that you encourage all the mothers in the house. Encourage every single mother, every married mother, God. Encourage every young mother, God. Even those that may have a baby as a teenager. Encourage their heart, God. Open up their heart to you at another level, God. God, I just thank you right now for what you're doing in all of our lives. You have us right in the middle of where you want us to go. So, God, we might as well just get on board and enjoy the ride. God, we just thank you for just who you are. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for covering us. We thank you for guiding and leading us to the paths that are straight. We thank you for putting us in places that we could never get to on our own. We thank you for open doors. We thank you for favor. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. You are our Savior. You are our King. You are our lily in the valley. You are our bright and morning star. You are our balm in Gilead. You are the righteous one. You are our King. You are our Lord. You are the mighty God. We thank you for who you are, Jesus. So God, as we end this time, if there is anyone in the house that do not know you as their personal Savior, we give them space to acknowledge and accept you as their personal Savior. They may be backslidden. They may have turned away from you. But God, we give them this space because you love them, you care for them, and you still want them to be part of your kingdom. So God, I thank you right now. If there's anyone in the house that is not saved, we give you this space to come and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. If there's anyone that may be in a backslidden state,